From the Theater Talk studio at WBFO, this is Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by Elizabeth Licata of Buffalo Spree. Welcome.
Happy holidays, Mark.
Same to you. Since our conversation is happening on Christmas Eve this year, I thought we'd have a holiday-themed conversation.
Absolutely.
So much has been happening this month. Holiday concerts by the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, holiday-themed theater performances, tree lightings. Do you have a particular favorite?
Well, I really just sort of enjoy, we just really enjoy driving around and looking at houses lit up. That's one of our favorites. And it's kind of disappointing to me. The part of Buffalo that I live in is not, like Allentown, not really known for its decorations, you know. We're one of the few houses on our street that has lights. But if you go to North Buffalo, and then we always drive to Lockport on Christmas Eve, we'll be driving there tonight, and we always stop. We go down North French Road. We go down some of those kind of exurban or suburban streets. They have amazing displays in some of those sort of cul-de-sac streets, and we've gotten a lot of ideas from them.
You know what else is lovely? Lewiston.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I don't usually get up that far.
The main street is lit up. The trees lining the street
yes.
are lit up. It looks like the prototypical Christmas village. And then nearby, you have Our Lady of Fatima and their holiday lights display.
Oh, they have an amazing, yes, that's a great holiday lights display. And then you've got the one, if you want to go south, you've got the fairgrounds. I think East Aurora is another great holiday place to go. And you can actually, even Niagara Falls, because I have a sister who lives there, I drive through Hyde Park, usually has a light display there.
Now, we're going into a week where everyone is concentrating on holiday activities between now and New Year's. It's a busy week for some culturals, others like the BPO and theaters
yes.
are dark. But museums, this is a big week
for them.
There's
not much going on theater-wise or concert-wise, but museums and other institutions are expecting visitors. They know that people are in town, families are in town who might be staying through New Year's, and they have to have something to do. So really, for example, Birchfield Penny, now they're closed Christmas Day, but that's it. Now the Martin House, same thing, closed Christmas Day, but that's it. And they're actually putting on extra tours. So if you have not seen the inside of the Martin House, which is finished, and if you haven't quite seen all that yet, then this is actually a really good time to do that. I also, one of my favorites for the holidays is the Botanical Gardens. They have the train display is great for families. It's very interactive. Kids can go up to it and make things stop and go. And then they have their big poinsettia show is going on. And finally, I think it's important for people not to be afraid to be outside at this time of year, in the winter. Yes, it's winter, but you can bundle up. The technology of outerwear now is astounding. So you can definitely bundle up. Go to Goat Island. They have Saturday on the 28th. They're having their a big bird watch through the, and there's a guide there from the Audubon Society. I think his name is Mark Cara, and he will take people to parts of Goat Island that are usually closed at this time of year for safety purposes, but this is the time. There won't be a lot of other people there, and this is one of the largest. It's an important bird area. They have one of the largest species count anywhere of mainly waterfowl. So, and with a guide, he'll be able, you know, to us probably, you know, all gulls look alike, but there really are a lot of different types. So he would be able to tell you exactly who's who.
Speaking of outdoors, tens of thousands turn out every New Year's Eve for the big ball drop. And that says something about Buffalo and the hardiness of its citizens.
Well, yes. And I think now there's so much to do around the ball drop. Like, you know, I'm sure that, you know, all the restaurants must be completely reserved around there because you can go have dinner, a late dinner, and then go and watch the ball drop. And again, just bundle up, and it's really fun to be outside during the winter. So that's a great event. And then, of course, the first night activities in the convention center are good for families. And mm-hmm. there's a bunch of other New York or New Year's themed events going on.
Over the past decade, local business districts, Elmwood Avenue most prominently, have made a concerted effort to attract shoppers as an alternative to suburban shopping malls. Have they succeeded?
I think they have to a certain degree. I think most of the activity along Elmwood is still really kind of in between, say, Forest, a little past Forest, all down to maybe Highland or so. That's where most of the shops are. Some of my favorite shops are along there. I particularly like Thin Ice because it's all Buffalo people who sell in there. So not only it's a local small business, but everything you're going to find in there is made by local people. So that's and it's all different kinds of things, too. One of my favorite stores on Allen Street is the Pineapple, which is, again, all local artists, a lot of really fun things, a lot of very low-price things, very reasonable place. And then let's not forget Hurdle, because that is huge now. I heard they had a holiday shopping event recently where it was just wild. People, you know, the crowds of people.
And there was an interesting addition to Elmwood this year with pop-up vendors a couple of weekends ago. Local artisans having a chance to offer their handmade goods.
I've been to two pop-up shows. The Birchfield Penny does one, and then the following weekend, a lot of those same artisans were at a show that was right around Bryant and Elmwood, two empty storefronts. A lot of my friends were there. I know my husband went there secretly and came home with packages that I wasn't allowed to look at. So looking forward to see what he came up with. That was a really fun show. They had refreshments, and it was a great use of two storefronts that otherwise are empty.
Now, a couple of years ago, we were celebrating the holidays on Press Pass with some Tom and Jerry's.
Yes.
Today, you brought coffee and
It spiked with a little rum chata.
What is that?
Well, I just bought but it's rum with natural flavors and cream, and it looked
good.
Kind of fun. I'm not a big Bailey's fan, so this was, for me, kind of alternative to Bailey's, and I think, you know, it's important that we... But I will say that I have had a Tom and Jerry. Have you?
Yes, not this year. But
oh, really?
We plan to. McPartland's is near our house, and
they do good ones.
And we usually stop by there between Christmas and New Year's to enjoy a sip.
I had mine at the place.
Yeah,
and
that's the
big
place.
Surprise.
That's the place.
I didn't. Yes, it is. Well, there's lots of great places, but they give you when you're ready to leave, you get a bag, and it's got a Tom and Jerry cup in it, which I didn't even know was going to happen.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
How do you personally spend your holidays, if I can ask?
Well, like a lot. On Christmas Eve tonight, we'll be going to Lockport for dinner with my brother, and then we have two parties that we go to in Buffalo. One is really a lot of theater people, and then another one is my gardening friends. It's a smaller party, and the theater people one is a gigantic party, and they often have Santa there. By the time we get there, Santa's usually gone, so it's like there's kids running around, and they have Santa, and they have a gigantic buffet, which we couldn't even look at because we've already had dinner. So that's the usual thing for Christmas, and then or Christmas Eve, and then on Christmas I'm having dinner for nine at my house with friends who, like us, our parents are no longer with us, and so we don't have we don't have to go somewhere for Christmas, which is kind of nice. So we invite people. Like, there's a single guy that we know doesn't really, you know, have anywhere to go, so he's going to come by, or, you know, and some other friends that just are sort of at loose ends with Christmas. They don't have the big... A lot of us don't really have the big family thing anymore. People kind of scatter in different directions and are too far apart, so it's kind of fun. What about you, Mark?
Yeah, tonight we're going to host a Christmas Eve party. We did it for much of the past 30 years. Last couple of years,
nice.
My sister-in-law hosted because she had more room and with the family expanding with little ones, so we had it there. But this year, all the kids are going someplace else, so
we're
able to bring it to our house again, and so that's tonight.
Well, that's exactly, because our generation, you know, my friends' kids are mainly grown up, you know, and they have, you know, they've got adult lives, and they can't get away. So, so it's smaller groups. But that's great. So I assume that your son and your grandson will be there.
No.
Unfortunately,
they're in Ann Arbor. I think I've mentioned to our listeners, my son and daughter-in-law are doctors. My son was on call for Thanksgiving. My daughter-in-law is working Christmas, so they're stuck in Ann Arbor, and we were with them for Thanksgiving, and my daughter-in-law's parents will be there for Christmas. But we're happy to be home because my sisters and I lost our mother this year, still going to be gathering around the table on Christmas Day, and I'm sure there are going to be some tears, but I'm glad to be home for that because it would have been even worse if my wife and I weren't at that table. Because where you were,
that is really good, yeah. and it's good not to have to travel. It's good to be home. What are you going to be having?
We have ham and turkey.
Oh, of course.
On Christmas Eve, and my sister is a gourmet cook, and I have no idea what she's making, but it will be delicious.
So, it sounds fabulous.
So before we wrap up, because we've spent so much on the holidays in this conversation, I do want to ask about some of the highlights, because the January issue of Buffalo Spree is arriving in subscribers' mailboxes along with the holiday cards and packages. And what are some of the highlights in the coming month?
Oh, well, our January issue always has our top docs, and it has a couple really interesting medical stories that are really what we like to call in the trade long form stories about people like one. I don't want to give too much away, but one story about a woman who has beaten her diagnosis by 10 years. You know, so they're kind of uplifting stories. And they also highlight the amazing resources that we have here in Buffalo with the great doctors at Roswell and throughout the entire medical campus. So there's some really nice stories about that. And then we've got our usual, you know, the art season is right back at it in January. So people can expect a lot of really fun happenings throughout, you know, in terms of museums and in terms of theater and, of course, the BPO, some really fun BPO stuff. There's a Midsummer Night's Dream, a production of that they're doing in January, that it'll be really nice to have anything with the word summer in it in January. So I think but they're working with Irish Classical Theater Company to do this, and that's a big production for them, and so we've got a nice story on that.
Elizabeth, I wish you, Alan, and all the special people in your life a very happy holiday season.
And the same to you, Mark.
We'll talk again in late January. Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.